Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Oh, we're so honored to be back at our spiritual home. Amen. So thankful for this place, and we're thankful for Pastor and Pastor Kim. I just want to give honor where honor is due. You know, honor is the currency of elevation. Honor is the currency of elevation. And listen, there is no people on the planet like Pastor and Pastor Kim. Aren't they? We are so blessed. Aren't we so blessed at Church on the Rock? For those that don't know me, and maybe you're our new friend today, my name is Mark, and my wife, Nikki, we were able and had the privilege and the honor to serve on staff here for 13 years and been sent out by Pastor. We are located in Niles, Ohio, and at Rust City Church, and excited to be with y'all this morning. It feels so good to be in the place. There is no place like Church on the Rock. And so we are honored and just thankful for Pastor and Pastor Kim, the legacy. Come on, they celebrated 50 years married last week. Thankful for the example. Thankful for, we have a picture for us. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm thankful that we could be under someone that we could follow with the example of health and show you what it looks like to be healthy. And then this year, you know, actually next month will be the actual month, but we're celebrating all year, 40 years. Come on, somebody. What a legacy. Man. So I'm just so thankful. We celebrate what God's doing. We're thankful for Pastor and Pastor Kim. Thankful for the opportunity. You know, I think about all the things that I've learned. And you know what? It would take 3 services for me just to tell you all the things I've learned. Probably more than that. Probably an entire year. Worth of content. I have notebooks on notebooks on notebooks just sitting under the teaching of Pastor Blunt. But as I think about these things, you know, he's taught me how to be healthy. He's taught me how to have a personal growth plan. He's taught me how to do so many different things. But he's taught me how to discover my purpose and walk in it. And that is the assignment for today, like Pastor said. And so I want to get right into it. I hope you drank your coffee this morning, because we about to get in. Y'all ready? Yeah. Now, Pastor teaches in his book, Power of Expectation. Y'all know that book? Yeah. If you haven't got it, you need to get it. But he says in there that God will meet you at the level of your expectation. So do I have anybody expecting to hear from God this morning? Oh, I'm in the right building. Yes. Okay. All right, so we're going to get into the word, and let's go to Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6 in verse 7. I'm going to read about 9 verses for just a moment. We're going to read, and then we'll get right into it. It says in verse 7, one time when the people of Israel had cried out to God because of Midian, God sent them a prophet with this message. God, the God of Israel, says, I delivered you from Egypt. I freed you from the life of slavery. I rescue you from Egypt's brutality and then from every oppressor. I pushed them out of your way and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am your God. Don't for a minute be afraid of the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But you didn't listen to me. Verse 11. One day, the angel of God came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress. Out of the sight of the Midianites, the angel of God appeared to him and said, God is with you, O mighty warrior. Gideon replied, with me, my master? If God is with us, then why has all this crazy, terrible, horrible stuff happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders of our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. Now let's go to verse 14. But God faced him directly, "Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I sent you?" This verse 15 and 16. But Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord, how am I to rescue Israel? Behold, my family is the least significant in Manasseh, and I am the youngest, smallest in my father's house." Excuses, excuses. The Lord answered, "I will certainly be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites as if they were only one man." I want to talk to you about discovering your purpose. Pastor teaches us that there's two most important days of your life. The first is when you were born, and then the second is when you discover why you were born. I want to submit to you this morning that your why power is greater than your willpower. Knowing your why and why you're on this earth is greater than your willpower. I was going to a movie. I was running a little late, and it was when, you remember we had Werenberg Theaters? Werenberg. It's the weirdest commercials I've ever seen. Thank God that changed. All right, but we get into the Werenberg Theater and we missed all the weird commercials. We were there, we missed it. It was like 30 minutes late. We came and we were right on time because we missed all the different previews. We get into our seats and we're sitting down and we're watching this movie. And I just noticed about 30 seconds in that I was really squinting and struggling. I was looking and I was like, something ain't right. I can't see everything properly. I started to almost get a headache as I'm watching this movie, and I just happened to look to the person that's sitting a little far from me, and I realized they had 3D glasses on. That's why he's supposed to come early. They got these 3D glasses on, and I'm like, yo, we in a 3D movie. I'm like, I need to get with the program. So I run, I get these 3D glasses, right? Glasses on. I got them on. I can't even get them on. This is a little whatever. They were saving. They're budgeting. They're going to leave these out. So I got these glasses on and I'm like, yo, I could see everything clear. I could see. Before I had a headache, they actually say that when you wear these glasses, like when you don't wear glasses to a 3D movie, you can get a migraine. Like because you're squinting, trying to see three dimensions, but you don't have the proper lenses in front of you to see exactly what's going on in the movie. And I would submit to you this morning, when we start looking at our purpose, if we don't see it in three dimensions, we don't see it in three ways, and I'm gonna tell you these three ways in just a moment, we could miss the mark and we could actually get a headache or have the wrong picture because we're looking at one dimension, but we're missing the other dimension and the other dimension. And a lot of us, you know, we have this pressure. You know, when a teenager graduates out of high school, I mean, he's got the pressure. He should be celebrating, right, when he graduates, but he's almost dreading sometimes going to his celebration because it's going to be the number one question. Son, daughter, what you doing now? And then, you know, some of us even dread going to family meetings or Thanksgivings or going to family outings because we just don't want to talk about this thing called purpose. We just don't want to talk about what we're doing, or some of us are embarrassed or we feel like we have not reached and we don't understand and there's some confusion there. And today I want to give you three simple things. Three things that we can look at our purpose in 3D. Is that all right? Yes. Y'all want it? Yes. Okay. Oh, y'all are so awesome. Okay. Let's give it. Number one would be seeing who God is. Did you notice that Gideon, when we read the scripture, that Gideon had the wrong revelation of God? He had the improper picture of God. He had an attitude like, yeah, if God was with me, he had the wrong picture, he was thinking that God was not for him. He was thinking that God had left when his parents had left because they said, oh, yeah, what about my ancestors that told me about this God? I don't know where he is. Ever been there? Ever faced that doubt, felt that doubt, felt like, what is going on? But God, you ain't here. I'm in the middle of this mess. I'm in the middle of this tragedy. I'm in the middle of this challenge. I'm in the middle of this pressure. But God, I can't feel you. I can't see you. I don't know what is going on. That's where Gideon was. But you know, Gideon was only just a few steps to his purpose, but he just had to have the right picture of who God really was. He didn't have the right picture, and therefore, because he didn't have the right picture, he didn't have the right perspective. So his picture of God was very limited, right? He thought God wasn't for him. He thought that God didn't want him to be free. He thought that God wanted him to be in bondage. He thought that God was mad at him. And though we read in the first few verses that there was a word that was given out to the nation, his ear wasn't listening. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking, but are we constantly listening? Are we hearing the word of God and having an open ear and an open heart? It's crazy. The prophet came and told them, this is your land. The prophet came and declared to them, you are called. You can take this land. I've given it to you. But instead of him saying, I received that, I'm running with that, he was complaining so that when God actually went and spoke to him, he said, God ain't with us? Are you crazy? Do you see what's happening in my checking account? Do you see what's happening in my job? Do you see what's happening, the difficulty, the struggle? You're telling me that God is with me? He had an unbiblical worldview. Pastor teaches us, we can't have that. We need to have a word view, not a world view. He said, do you see the economy? Do you see what's happening in the Middle East? Do you see what's happening right now? How could a good God that loves us put us in this position? Oh, he had the incorrect picture of God. Pastor has actually been teaching on this when he's been talking about Satan, demons, and angels, that series. If you haven't listened to that message, the series, you need to go and listen to it. But he talks about how a lot of the world is out there. He's talking about Joe Rogan, talking about other podcasts, people having the wrong, unbiblical worldview, not having a word view, the correct picture. And you know, I've learned this and I've heard this and I've caught this, that the God you see is the God he'll be. So if you don't see him as a savior, he can't save you because you don't see him, right? So the God you see is the God you'll be. So come on, let's think about some things. John 3:16 is a simple one. It's a foundational script. For God so loved the world. So he loves us, right? That he gave his son and that we have everlasting life, that he doesn't want us to perish, right? So he's giving his heart when in John 3:16. Let's think of some other ones, right? What does the word say in Romans chapter 8, verse 31? I think it's actually on the windows of this building that God is for you. God is for me. My brother and sister, even if you don't know Christ today, or you're not a part of the church, or you haven't been through the classes yet, God is for you classes, let me just encourage you. God is for you. He's not against you. He's after you. He's in pursuit of you. He has a calling on your life. He cares about you. He's called you. And even though you may not see it, just like Gideon didn't see it, Gideon didn't think that God was for him. But I think about 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, right? He says, beloved, I wish upon all things that you may prosper, even as your soul prospers. So he wants our mind, our will, in our emotions. He wants us to prosper mentally, physically, emotionally. That's his plan. So now that we have the correct picture of God, we can see, okay, I have a God who's for me. You see the world, they'll say things like, no one ever helped me. No one helped me. You know, like somebody that's successful in the world, they'll talk about nothing. No one helped me. No one was for me. Everybody talked about me. No one gave me a chance. No one did anything for me. See, that's an unbiblical worldview. That's not a world, the worldview. That's a bad worldview right there. That's not biblical, because here's the thing is that God has been for you since the beginning of time. God loves you. He's for you. He has a purpose for you. Jeremiah 29:11, right? Hope and a future. So God is for you. So I love that Gideon had the wrong perspective, but God wasn't intimidated by his doubts. Your doubts are not too big for God. You could be in doubt today and leave in faith. You could be in doubt today, discouraged today, but walk out of here knowing I got a purpose. God's called me on purpose, for a purpose. He has a plan. God's gonna do something in my life. I believe it, I receive it, and I'm walking in it. Come on, praise break. Let me just give God some praise. So we see who God is, number one. So we wanna see our purpose in 3D. If we wanna see it, you know, and Pastor teaches us this. I love this. He won't show you the whole puzzle, but he'll show you a piece of the puzzle. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're going step by step by step. He ain't gonna show you everything, but he's gonna show you one step at a time. This is where I want you to go. And so God had to get his Gideon. God had to kind of get Gideon to stop thinking incorrectly about who he was. He had thinking, right? He had the wrong mindset. He had the wrong attitude. He had the wrong perspective. Psalm 34:19 says this. I love this right here. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them. Look at that. Wait a minute. Bad things happen to good people? Absolutely. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous. That bad things are going to happen, but just remember the promise. Just remember, right? We have 7,000 promises out there. See, we have to hold on to the promises, remind ourselves of the promises, rehearse and declare over our life and remind ourselves and not forget that God is for us, not forget what he's done. Our faith should be stirred. See, Gideon should have been excited saying, if God can do this in my family, just wait till what he's gonna do in my life. What he's gonna do in my generation. We have to change our perspective. And look at this, it says, the Lord will save them and they will not be defeated. Oh, that is so good right there. The Lord will save them and he will not, what is he saying? The right perspective, the right mindset, the right attitude. I love that. Now let's go to Philippians 3:10. Now look at this right here, because we're talking about how we can discover our purpose. One, we have to know who God is, who God really is. Not what the world has said, not what social media has said, not what somebody else said, but what does the word say? What is a biblical world view, right? For my determined purpose is that I may know him. Wait a minute here. So our purpose is not to be successful. Our purpose is to know him. Because God knows that if I have the correct picture, he could do more in my life. Someone said it this way, God will give it to you if God can get it through you. What was he saying is that I have to increase my capacity in my mindset. I have to increase the capacity in my belief, in the mindset, in my faith to know that God will do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. But look at this. I love what he's saying, though. He says, my determined purpose is that I may know God. And then it says that I may progressively become. Whoa, wait a second. So I'm going to get to know God more, and then I'm going to start to become something. Wait a minute. So my picture of God is really attached to the picture of my identity and how I look at myself. So number one, it's my picture of God. But then number two, it's who I am. So who is God, then who I am? Look what Gideon was saying. We were just reading this. Gideon said, I'm the family of the least significant in Manasseh. I'm the youngest. I don't have it together. He's complaining. He's making excuses. See, it's easy for me to just complain, but the faith does the hard thing, amen? Yeah. But when I say, you know what? I know what's happening, but I know who he is. I know what the economy is saying, but I know what his word says. I'm gonna stand on his word. I'm gonna believe his word. I'm gonna declare his word. I'm gonna walk in his word. I'm not moved by what the news says. I'm not moved by what the family says. I'm not moved by what my bank account says. I'm gonna trust his word. I know that he has a plan for my life. The people could be decreasing, but I serve a God of increase. We could be seeing, people could be losing their job, but promotion's coming my way. It's a mindset, right? So it's now looking at things differently, but look what God says, right? We're 3D purpose. We're talking about having the right lens, the right mindset. Look what God says. He says in verse 11, he says, God is with you, O mighty warrior. Whoa, wait a second here. So even though he was speaking doubt and unbelief, it didn't change the word that God had for his life. You may be feeling doubt and unbelief. You could have been in doubt and belief, unbelief all week. But let me just tell you that you could hit the reset button today and start believing his word, speaking his word, declaring his word over your family, over your future, over your finances. God has a plan. God's going to take care of that ailment that's happening. God's going to take care of that situation. It may look bad. It may feel bad, but I don't go by what I see and what I feel. I go by what his word says. Ah, this is so powerful right here, because he says he's not moved by him. He could have said, change your speaking, change your attitude. You know what he says? He says, God is with you, almighty warrior. He sees it in him before he sees it in himself. God saw the purpose in you before you saw the purpose in yourself. God calls you great. He doesn't make junk. He created you on purpose for a purpose. He has a calling in something great and not something, oh, just little. It's something big. Whatever you're thinking right now about your purpose, you just need to triple size it, right? Because Ephesians 3:20 says he'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, right? So the word of God for you, the word of God for me is we have to look in the spiritual mirror. What does God say? What does his word say about me? Because I can't see my purpose if I can't see who God is. And I can't have the correct picture of God so I can have the correct perspective and the correct picture of who am I. Look what it says in verse 11. He says, God is with you, a mighty warrior. And then it says in verse 14, it says, God faced him directly and said, go in the strength that is yours. What was he saying? I created you for this conflict. I created you for this battle. You think that this mountain is anything to me? Do you think that this report is anything to me? Do you think that this battle or this debt is anything to me? Do you think that this is hard for me? I've created you for this. He's telling him. He's declaring to him. He's saying to him. He's saying, go in the strength. What was he talking about, the strength? Because there was a strength. There was something on the inside of Gideon, a unique discontent. A unique discontent that said, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're getting out of debt. We're going to give more than we've ever given to the church. We're going to do everything we possibly. It's a whole shift of experience, right? It's a shift in your mindset. No. I'm not allowing this to come on me. The doctor says one thing, but God's word says another thing. I'm not receiving that. I'm not letting my, it even getting in my head. I'm not even going to dwell on that. I'm going to speak his word. I'm going to declare his word. We have to be intentional with our words. Our words have life. They have power. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to speak that over my friends. I'm not going to speak that over my family. Stop right there. If someone comes and tells you, just hold on just a second. I'm just going to speak God's word. I'm just going to speak God's word. If it ain't life, I'm not speaking it. I'm not speaking it over my family. I'm not speaking it over my future. He said, go in the strength that is yours. He had a unique discontent. He had something. God was fired up when he saw how fired up he was. God said, you need to go with that strength. You need to walk in that strength. What is he saying? He was channeling the things that were inside him. There's things that are on the inside of us that bother us, but they're for a purpose. Oh, they're not for us to just allow. They're there for us because God's saying, I have a solution on the inside of you to do something about it. Gideon was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Gideon was sick and tired of the way things were going. He was sick and tired of the bondage and the generational curses. He was tired of the difficulty. He was tired of living and knowing, this is weak. This is not for me. God didn't create this. There was a unique discontent in Gideon. And this is so powerful because this right here is now he's starting to discover who he is. He doesn't even realize it. Because now he's starting to hear God and say, he's saying, I have something great for you, Gideon. I have something amazing for you, Gideon. You just need to know who I am. I'm the God of El Shaddai. I'm the God of more than enough. I'm the God of restoration. I'm the God of peace. I'm the God that will bring things back. I'm the God of the impossible. I'm the healer. I'm the redeemer. I'm the restorer. I'm the deliverer. He had to change the perspective. That perspective had to shift. So he's starting to hear God and saying, wait a minute. There's something more. So we talked about a 3D. We have to have that 3D vision, right, to see our purpose. So number one was who God is. Number two, who am I? Who are you and I? And then number three is what has he called us to do? Look what verse 18 says, though. So after he gets this word, he says, do not leave here, I pray, but until I return to you, bring my offering and set it before you. Wait a minute. So Gideon hears about the potential, and all of a sudden, action takes place. God didn't ask him for anything. God never asked Gideon for anything. He said, don't leave here. You know, it says it actually an angel of God, but theologians believe it was Jesus that was speaking to Gideon. But they're standing before Gideon, and Gideon doesn't say, like, he hears the word, and what does he do? He immediately starts to give. He says, I'm going to bring my offering. I'm going to set it before you. See, Gideon started to sow right there. You exit your need through a seed. You start sowing. He started to sow his time, his talent, his treasure. I don't have a lot of time to talk about this and break this down, but he started to sow. He started to say, wait a minute. Where's a need? Where's a need? Oh, there's a need in Eat Sweet Night. I'm going to get extra candy. I'm just going to bring it in the legacy offering. Nothing was happening. Nothing changed besides God telling him that he had a calling on his life. But Gideon did something about it. Gideon didn't overcome the war right then. He didn't just take on, you know, Gideon, he goes on to do great things for God, like amazing things. He had to trust God. He got to get to know God. But I mean, he goes on to win this war with only 300 people and over 100,000 soldiers with only 300 people. But Gideon didn't just go, okay, God, okay, you've called me. He did something about it. Faith without works is dead, right? He had to make some movement. What did he do? He started to serve. If you pay attention to this, he's spending hours. It's crazy. No one told Gideon to do this. He knew, okay, if I have potential, I need to start moving for this. At this point, I don't even think Gideon knew if this was God or not, but he was stepping forward and doing something. Sometimes God will show you something. He'll show you something, and the best thing you could do is start serving and sowing and giving so you can move towards it. God, I know you got something great for my life, but I don't know what it is. How I discover my purpose is through service. Gideon said, I'm going to go serve you now because I don't have all the picture. I got a piece of the puzzle. I don't have the whole puzzle. I don't know what's going on, but faith, I'm going to step out in faith and do something about it. I'm not going to sit here and go, okay, how do you want me to do it? What did he start to do? He started to give. So he started to sow. He started to serve. He started to submit. Look what it says real quick in verse 26. It says, that night this happened. God said to him, take your father's best 7-year bull, the prime one, tear down your father's Baal altar and chop down Asherah fertility pole beside it. What was he saying? He said, okay, all right, now that you know the potential, there's some things that we got to clean up here. Because there's some generational curses. Your father's got some stuff right here, and he goes, let's clean this up right here. A lot of theologians believe that that actually was dealt with and worship the God of perversion. And so he said, okay, before I can really show you who you are, we need to clean this up, or you're going to be confused with who you are. We need to clean this up. We need to get this stuff. Hey, there are some things we need to unsubscribe to. There's some things we need to delete, we need to move, we need to get rid of. You've been having some things and you are what you tolerate, by the way. If you allow it in your household, it will get a hold of your life, it will become a bondage on your life, it will destroy your future, it will destroy your purpose. So he says, God's like, before I can get him through this war, he has to get through this right here, because he'll never make it in this war. Even if he knows who I am, he won't know who he is. He knows that God will save him, but he won't know who he is to get through the war. See, what God has called you and I, my brother and sister, to do, and what he's called us and launched us to do and walk in, there are some things we got to make sure that on the inside of our heart is pure and clean. The Bible says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. God was saying there were some things we had to remove. There's some things nobody in his generation was willing to remove them. It's like, hey, this generational curse stops with me. This stops with me right now. It's not going past into my kids. It's not going past into my family. It's not going past. It stops with me. This ain't going through me. This ain't going through me. It's not going beyond me. I'm not allowing it with my kids. They're never going to know what that's like. Poverty, they're never going to know what that's like. Why? Because it's breaking off my life today. Enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate it no more. Why? Because God has called me for something better and greater. And the only way I could accomplish it is if I clean up. So Gideon says he does what no one's willing to do. He does what no one's willing to do, and he does it for the entire people. Let me just encourage you, Church on the Rock, you are world changers in this room. What you're going to do that no one's willing, when you sow a legacy offering, you're not just doing it to help a church. I was with many years ago, 6-7 years ago, we had a youth camp. We had it in the gym 7 years ago, and we had this preacher come, and it, well known, everybody was bringing this guy. I brought him to a youth camp to do the youth service. I showed him this building. I showed him the legacy of Church on the Rock. He looked at me and he said, everything that I have brought, every product, everything that I have brought, I'm giving to you, the kids. I'm sowing everything. I said, you know, thank you so much. But I just looked at him like they'll buy the product. He said, no, you don't understand something. I have to sow into good ground. He said, I'm about to start a church, and I got to sow where there's, this is big. This is God right here. He's looking at this building. He's saying, wow, look at what God has done right here in St. Peter's, Missouri. Look what God has done. He said, I'm going to sow into this. He went on. His church is all over. He's exploded all because he said, Mark, I have to sow into this ground. I have to get, this is not about doing something for the kids. This is something that I have to do for me and my future. This legacy offering is not about, and it is going to expand. It is. We're reaching everybody over on TV In Florida, I heard Sweden. I'm hearing all these things that God is doing here at Church on the Rock, increasing. It's amazing. But when we're sowing, this is about the legacy of what God's going to do. This is what God is going to do for our family and for our future. And what so he sows this amazing offering. He starts serving. He's serving there right there. And then God starts to show him different things, and he accomplished something great for his life. All right. Can I get 5 more minutes and I'm done? We okay? We already have somebody play behind me, everything, so it get me going. All right. Real quick, I want to give you 3 things that we could apply and do right now based on what we just learned. Gideon said, Gideon recognized the calling and Gideon recognized that God was doing something in his life, so he did something about it. But I want to give you three things that we can do as we learn about this story. Number one is we have to recognize the unique design. Your difference determines your destiny. Your differences are not deficiencies. You have this feeling like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm different. I just feel like, no, like, you should not downplay that. God didn't create you to be a carbon copy of somebody else. I used to say it this way, I don't wanna be another wannabe. We hear it like, I wanna be a voice, not an echo, right? We have to be who God's called us to be. He's given us talents and gifts and skills. By the way, if you wanna learn about your spiritual gifts, that's God is for you class right there. They'll teach you all about that. And that will unlock and help you to see who you really are in Christ. So if you haven't gone to God's For You class, you need to go to that because that will help you with that in, I believe, step two. So your differences are not deficiencies. I don't have time to talk about this, but Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy behavior and customs of this world. Real quick, as we're closing, I want to share this story with you because this reminds me of how important it is that you stay true to yourself of who God has created you to be. Well, after you get the correct picture of God, you get the correct picture of yourself. I was reading this story about James Harrison. James Harrison lives in Australia, and at 14 years old, he had major chest surgery. It required 13 units of blood to keep him alive. And so after he lived through this surgery, it was very serious surgery, he felt like he wanted to give back because it took somebody donating blood that kept him alive. So every 3 weeks, he started donating blood, and he realized the doctors contacted him, and they realized that his blood actually had rare antibodies that combated the Rh disease. And if you don't know what the Rh disease is, it attacks unborn blood cells. So he had rare blood, his DNA was rare. He had rare blood, and so he continued for 60 years every 3 weeks donating blood. Do you know through him donating blood, he saved 2.5 million babies. We can see that, we can measure that, but I wanna submit to you, brother and sister in Christ, that your DNA and what God's called you to do and what's on the inside of you is to save a generation and save your family and save your coworkers. What God has on the inside of you is to do something so great and so supernatural that is so life-changing. So we have to recognize our unique design. Number two, we have to respond to our unique discontent. Nikki and I were praying with Pastor Kim years ago. And she told us, she said, the problems that agitate you the most are more likely the problems you were created to solve. I'll never forget it. We were praying and she shared that with us. We never let go of that right there. If it bothers me, there's a reason. Maybe there's a vision that God has in front of us. I'm just running with this real fast. So respond to your unique discontent. Number three, reach for your unique destiny. Philippians 3:12 says, real quickly, I'm just going right to it, so that I may reach the purpose for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me to make his own. This is our mission. It's not your purpose, God's purpose for your life. The Apostle Paul saying, I want to reach that purpose. That word reach means stretch. He wants to stretch your giving. He wants to stretch how you live. Discipline. There's no growth in our comfort zone. We have to get uncomfortable to stretch. And as we stretch, oh, God does something amazing. So he wants us to reach for our unique destiny. So just to recap, here's the three things that we could do this week. Recognize the unique design. Number two, respond to our unique discontent. And then number three, reach for your unique destiny. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this amazing church. God, thank you for the legacy. Thank you for all that you have done at Church on the Rock. We know the best is yet to come. And God, today, many people here hearing this as we're talking about discovering your purpose, God, God, I thank you, God, that you're speaking to your people. God, people have come in today, maybe discouraged, down, out, frustrated, confused, not knowing that you are for them, that you love them. Or maybe came in and just been a little dry, fallen a little off, and felt like they've been away from God, got into a funk of something. You just got into a dry spell. But God, today, I just pray, God, that your people would be refreshed and they would see you as Lord, Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Restorer. God, I thank you, God, for touching your people this morning. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you could be in this room right now and you don't know who really God is. You need to get that revelation of God is. Or maybe you thought God was mad at you and you said, Mark, I've been going on my own tracks. I've been doing my own thing because I didn't realize that God is for you. He loves you. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But the Holy Spirit is tugging on hearts right now. And you could be in this room and saying, today, I just realized that I have this unique discontent. I have this unique thing that God has created me. I don't have to be like anybody else. Maybe you've been feeling pressured. And today, right now, you're discovering, I need to be who God's called me to be. I need to start walking in that purpose. I don't need to delay it any longer. If that's you, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Hands are going up all over. I just want to pray with you. You could be watching online. Just click the button online. I want to pray with you. I want to play a corporate prayer with you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I see hands going up. That's awesome. You're saying, today, I'm going to accept the call. I'm going to accept God's purpose for my life. All right, Church of the Rock, let's pray with those that made a decision. Let's say it all together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that you sent your son Jesus and he died for me and he rose again. And right now, I receive all that you have for me. A new, fresh perspective of who you are. Fresh revelation of who I am and what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, can we just give God some praise for all those that made a decision? Would y'all stand with me? Our prayer team is coming right now. They're gonna come over to my right, your left. And if you need prayer for anything, you raised your hand, you made a decision, I just wanna encourage you right now, make sure you get with our prayer team. Let them know you made a decision. Maybe find out, get a part of our God is for you classes. Get in a small group, but faith is an act. Do something, all right? We love you guys. Thank y'all for being here today. I'm gonna dismiss you and bless you out. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this amazing congregation. Thank you that Church on the Rock is blessed. Thank you that they're full of your favor, that your grace is shining upon them, God, wherever they go. Whatever they put their hand to prospers. We speak blessing over them now, over our pastors and over the staff. God, we thank you for protection and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Never forget, God is for you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.